Hey everybody, and welcome back to an all-new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrantes. All right, we are hot and rolling. It is so nice to be back here at my microphone, my cozy, warm, soft, tasty, private, therapeutic microphone. It's my favorite place to be. It's my favorite, like, time of the week where I get to come in here, I get to close this door, I get to be surrounded by my soft, padded, soundproofing materials that are all over the walls, and I get to be here, and I get to just talk to you, and only you, because you mean so much to me. And it feels so nice to be back here. It's been a really, really crazy week, to say the least. I mean, my God, have we got some things to get into today. Right off the MF and bat, okay, let me just tell you, like, just getting into it, like, just jumping right in. If you could see the current list of unopened emails looking at me right now. Like, I'm here, you know, like, I'm the roof is there, and my head is touching it. It's like in that movie It Follows, when the lead actress runs through this bedroom, and then she turns around, and there's this, like, 9 foot tall guy who's, like, bending down, and, like, this, his head's touching the ceiling. It's kind of like that. I'm really happy for it. I'm very grateful. Obviously, I'm very humbled by seeing this list of unopened emails. But boy, oh boy, does that anxiety come with it. It's such an unfair partnership, isn't it? Like, opportunity and anxiety go hand in MF in hand a little too often for my pleasure. For some reason, particularly in Germany, I feel like opportunity and anxiety come together even more so here, because sometimes you see emails where you're like, that could be kind of cool, but then you kind of have to start off with, although this does interest me, I must warn you, I can't have such a detailed conversation about this opportunity in German. I have to do it in English. And then you kind of feel like, oh shit, now I've already kind of, like, killed the, you know, you've already, they were trying to have some foreplay. And you walked into the room just gassing up the place with steak farts. You know, it's kind of what it feels like when someone offers something on the table for you in a really beautiful way, but it's in German. And then you want to approach it with open arms, but you realize that you're going to have to shut down the notion that you can have such a detailed conversation in German. So they, I mean, you know, they've lit the candles. They've got, like, that bearskin rug on the floor. They got the fireplace cooking. You hear that nice sweet sizzle and the sparkle of that nice dried aged oak cooking, and you got the good smells, and they made, oh, there's red wine put out, and oh, I'm this old thing, I just wanted to put on something a little more comfortable, and they got that, like, saucy, sexy lingerie all prepared and all sitting there just juicy and waiting for you. And then you come in, you're like, hey, I took out the trash earlier and it spilled all over me, sorry. You're just covered in, like, pizza grease and stink. And that's how it feels, at least, when I approach emails, shutting down the conversation pretty quickly. No, but I will say this. I'm beating around the bush. Basically, I'm in a position right now that I've never been in before, and I don't really know how to handle it. And I don't have anybody in the same, like, there's maybe a few people I met once on this trip to Amsterdam that I can talk to about maybe how to proceed with things like this. I'm in a junction here. Like, I'll tell you, there's an opportunity to go to Berlin for this, some, like, it sounds really serious. It's like this initiative thing of like for policies. I don't even know how you would, like, describe that. But it's like an opportunity to be like a voice for what I do. But I don't even know what I would talk about. Anyway, so there's, like, this thing. I, like, come here and speak, basically, right? And then there's another thing here that I don't even know if it's legitimate. It sounds not legitimate, but maybe it is. It's a company. First off, I don't trust anybody that calls me an inspiration because that's kind of stupid. Also, I don't trust emails that don't specifically say what I do. You know what I mean? When they just say like, hey, we like what you do. It's like, well, do you? Do you know what I do? Do you know who I am? So this one company says, we love what you're about and we'd like to see how we can work together on an event. This person represents a company that I will not say right now, but it's like a travel service company. And they say, we make it possible for influencers to travel with their communities. Do I want to do that? We would love to have you host a retreat at a destination of your choice. We have destinations in Spain. Okay. Bali. Okay. Greece, Morocco, and more. We would cover all of your travel expenses and pay a hefty commission. You'd invite members of your community to travel with you. Do you guys want to go to Bali with me? I would promote the trip and then travel. They would work out all the details with four-star hotels, food, and the experiences. It's a fun way to travel and get paid for it and strengthen my brand. What is my brand? Making fun of Germany. Oh, and we work closely with... Okay. Well, you know, okay. I gotta say, it does sound tempting. I haven't looked into it to see if this is a legitimate website or not yet. So there's that already right off the bat. Then, a company whose product I use a lot and definitely have a fondness for have reached out to me to collaborate on something that could be really cool, making like a limited edition Jordan Prince version of their product. I can't talk about it yet. I probably shouldn't. Nothing's confirmed, but holy moly, that would be so cool. Another company, another huge company, wrote me about maybe doing a digital campaign for them, which is wild. I mean, that's like a major brand. That's nuts. And then again, another one. I mean, this is probably getting really boring and repetitive, but like sitting here looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like pretty amazing opportunities and possibilities of different kinds, like product combination, limited edition things, also travel things. It's so weird how quickly all that stuff starts to pour in. And it doesn't even matter what your content is really. Like I'm not, you know, like I've never been like, I don't know. It's just for me, it doesn't make any sense, but I'm happy for it. But yeah, it's crazy. Again, the combination of opportunity with anxiety, particularly in Germany, is so, so unfair. But I'll eventually get to these. I will read them eventually. But what I'm here to talk about today, because that last episode I spent like 25 minutes talking about updates before I spent 25 minutes equally talking about the Berlin Music Video Awards, and I don't want to do that to you today. I don't want to make it so unfair and potentially so boring for people who have just tuned in for the very first time because of the videos I make. Again, if you're just listening today for the very first time, then I'm sorry for such a slow start, but it's such a crazy week. There's a lot of things to talk about. If you're listening for the first time, thank you. You know, I do this show every week and it's my favorite thing that I get to do. And I'm very happy that you're here. So hope you enjoy it. So let's jump right in. For those who live in Germany and especially those who live in or around Munich, you probably know that currently taking place is the Munich Film Fest, which I think they should change the name to the Munich Film and Television Festival, because attending these events recently, it is equally, if not more important to be associated or involved with television projects than it is to be associated or involved with film projects. I mean, it's equally, if not more important. And especially, I think, since the pandemic, people are so involved in their series. I mean, I don't remember the last conversation I had about someone really talking about like a movie As much as they talked about Succession or White Lotus, you know, or Tiger King, for example, just some examples. But anyway, this is the first year I've had the honor and the pleasure of being invited to a few events at the Munich Film and Television Festival, which is really an honor. That's so cool, I think, and I'm very grateful for that. I have to give a shout out to a few people, particularly the production agency Neue Super. The new super company is a bunch of really great people, and they have been very gracious to me. They were the reason that I even got to do the music for the RTL Plus show Wrong. And that was, you know, already on its own enough of a flattering opportunity and honor. So, yeah. So Neue Super is great. I'm a big fan. I love them. So they had a huge party a couple of days ago that I was invited to. And I'm going to talk about the experiences at this party because, first off, I don't really go to a lot of parties at all in general. Like, I don't know. Not for a while. If I'm traveling, like if I'm doing a tour or if I'm doing special events in different cities, I can get that little fire burning, that little energetic little crackle of like, maybe let's go out. Let's go out tonight. Let's go out. Let's have some cocktails. Okay. Tonight I'm going to have a cigarette. No. Tonight I'm going to have a cigarette. I know I will. No, you can't stop me. You can't stop me. Are those Marlboro Lights? No. I'm going to roll my own. Tonight I'm going to have a cigarette. Oh, if Mark brings a little bit of marijuana, I don't know. Let's see what happens. You know, maybe we have a little spliff on the streets of the Reaper Bond, and maybe we stroll around before we go to that, you know, whatever that concert that we got access tickets to because we know the guy who's the bouncer at the other bar and his friend is the club owner promoter of that other place. And when you get into a new city, when you get into a fresh place, and you don't know that many people, and you either have a small crew or you're by yourself and you're interacting with all these fresh faces and they just want to have a good time and you just want to have a good time, there is no better feeling than that. And I think that's universal. And I think that is what I love most actually about going to different cities in Germany is that, like, usually I have a really good time. And that's when the fire burns a little bit about like going out and like getting it, you know? But in general, no, I don't go to many parties here in Munich. You know, I'll go get drinks with people, go to dinners with people, but not like this. I mean, not like this. I'm going to get into all of that. But first things first, we have to talk about the beloved German children's program, Pumuckl. We got to talk about Pumuckl. Guys, we got to talk about Pumuckl. There's so much to get into. First off, a lot of people, because now it's officially been, you know, premiered publicly, and it's all been announced and it's all being talked about now currently at the Film Fest because it's the big hot topic. And guys, we got to talk about Pumuckl. I feel so proud and honored and frankly heartwarmed by being able to be connected to more than one person who made this show possible. For those who don't know, for those who have never heard about this before, I didn't either. I didn't know what this was maybe until a couple of years ago or something. So it's like Pumuckl, like Pumuckl. It was a very, very crazy successful children's show, I guess back in the 70s. It went on for years and years and years. And the basic gist of it is that you have this, loving, caring carpenter guy, a hand worker guy who works in a little workshop in the city. And he is the only person who can see this tiny little cartoon, I guess, like troublemaker fairy, not troll, but like this, as if like a little garden gnome fairy, cheeky little guy, like came to life. And Pumuckl is the little fairy guy. He has this crazy red hair and he's barefoot and he gets into all kinds of, he's like an elf. Yeah. So he gets into all this trouble and he's funny And, you know, they all, you know, it's very sweet. I've seen some clips, I've seen some, and I know who this is. And the reason I know it more and more now than I ever did is because, and we got to talk about it. I know he's waiting for this. We got to talk about Moritz Binder. Moritz Binder is one of my very best friends. And he has just like blown me away over and over and over and over in the past few years in terms of his success and his ability to do such a wide range of, writing, a huge range of entertainment projects. You know, his ability to create and to think about things and story is so impressive, not just for someone who went to film school and who... you know, can appreciate the craft on a technical side of things, but also just as his friend and just as a fan of things like that. So, again, very, very popular show. It ended, I didn't Google too much about it. I just know that it was there, and I think it ended in the late 70s, early 80s, maybe later, maybe late 80s, something like that. Went on for a long time, super popular, and then it ended. And now they have rebooted the show with Moritz writing the show. Now I don't know the tight logistics, you know, if he worked, you know, which episodes he wrote fully. I'm pretty sure he did the pilot episode, which is very important, kicks off the whole series, you know. He has to make people fall in love with Pumuckl again, fresh-faced Pumuckl, has to also please the people who are very, very connected to the old story. It's a difficult thing to do. And I know that that's, I can't imagine the pressure that was probably on him for doing that. So he was hired by Neue Super, the production company, to make the show for RTL Plus, to make for the reboot. So then you have to think about, there's so many logistics there, like rebuilding the original set down to a T, redrawing the Pumuckl so it's a little modern but not too modern, because you don't want to steal the magic of what it is originally. And then also, of course, recasting the carpenter, because the original carpenter unfortunately passed away. He was very old, and so they kind of had to think about all these things in a different way. And so not only Moritz, who, you know, I've talked about a few different things that he's done. You know, he wrote a project that I had the absolute luxury of being able to be a part of, on screen and off, which I still can't quite talk about. But, you know, that was such a very, very different thing from this. And then I know he's written Tatort, which the Germans know Tatort is a huge, huge crime show, the most popular crime show in the whole country. And he's written two of them, I think. And it's just, Moritz, I've told you before, we've talked about it, when we are officially allowed to talk about this project that you wrote that I was a part of, this other one, when we can finally talk about it for real, we're going to get you on the show, and we're going to finally show our wonderful listeners of this podcast what you look like, what your wonderful voice sounds like. I think we've had you briefly on the show before, but this would be a full interview to talk about all these projects in detail, what it was like from your perspective to come up with these ideas, what it's like to work with these different kinds of producers, you know, what the roller coaster of working in this business is like. It's really crazy. So impressed and so grateful. And so this is already like my main connection to this show, Pumuckl. And this was like a few days ago, they had it was kind of like the team preview. So they had the screening of three episodes in a beautiful Zenlingatora theater, which a lot of migrants and expats might actually have never been inside the Zenlingatora theater in Munich, because they only primarily screen films that are, if they're not German, they're dubbed in German, or they're German films. So that's kind of interesting to be in there as a migrant, because you never get the opportunity. And it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous cinema. Gorgeous. Breathtaking. Two stories, you know, huge. It's a huge, and from the street, it doesn't look that big. Like, from the street, you'd think it would be like a 50, 100-person seater. No way. It's huge. And it's gorgeous. like all this wood and red velvet curtains and gold, and it's like just beautiful. And so they screened it there for like pretty much everybody, it seemed like, who worked on it. It was hundreds and hundreds of crew, cast. The director, Rosen Müller, who's famous here and has made a lot of fantastic projects that people love, great comedies. I didn't meet him, but I've heard a lot about him. And the way he was so proud of the people who put this show together, it was so heartwarming. See, he seems like a really sweet guy. So I hope someday I get to meet him, because he seems like a really, really nice person. And the other connection I have to this show is actually the actor who's playing Pumukel, which is crazy. I don't remember, like, I mean, people who were just starting to get into this podcast now, or maybe even for the long-time listeners, I don't remember if I talked too much about this performance I had in Switzerland at the end of May with this comedian entertainer named Maxi Schaffroth. Schaffroth, like, I would say Schaffroth, but it's like Maxi Schaffroth. I like when I try to properly pronounce the German person's name, I put on the accent, like, yeah, Maxi Schaffroth. Oh, sorry, I mean Maxi Schaffroth. So he is like a really, really beloved entertainer, comedian. You know, he's been doing huge, huge audiences, tours constantly throughout the year for years and years and years. He's a kind, loving, funny, super funny guy that, you know, he's someone that I've known for a few years but never had the opportunity to, like, get close with up until the last year. Sometimes it's just the way that is, you know, you just don't have, sometimes the things aren't aligning, and then all of a sudden they kind of do, and then you just, all of a sudden this friendship is there that you didn't know that you could have, and you're, like, so grateful, and it's so sweet, and they're, like, so happy to see you, and it's a really rewarding feeling, I think. So that's kind of how it is with Maxi. I've known him for a few years, and now we've become friends, kind of by the grace of God, because his guitarist, who plays accompaniment for his shows, is another one of my very best friends, Marcus, who plays a lot of concerts with me. And if you want to see me and Marcus playing a song together on my YouTube channel or on my Facebook channel, I think I never put it on, like, IGTV, but on my YouTube channel, you can see Marcus and me and my friend Cosma Joy doing my song Smilin' together, like three-part harmony and nice little guitars, and it's pretty. I'm really, really proud of that. So Marcus became a teacher, and he's doing, the Germans listening will hate that I can't remember this word, but there's a thing that teachers have to do in Germany when they become teachers, and it's like they study for a super long time, and then when they finally get out of the education part, they have to go do a whole year or 2 years, I think, like shifting around to different schools that aren't the school that they want to work at necessarily, but that it's like schools that they get the first person experience, like referendarat. Is that what it's called? I have no idea. Practicum referendarat? I'm not sure. Anyway, there's a thing that teachers do. They finish school and then they get thrown into schools anywhere. Like, they get thrown to schools like hours away, some small town, don't know anybody. It's crazy. I think it's a really crazy system. They do all the studying and then they can't just go to a school that they want to work at and apply. They have to be like, oh, I guess we're going to take you to this village that has maybe a bakery, and you can teach the 13 kids in this town. Anyway, he became a teacher, and long story short, Maxi needed a replacement, so Marcus suggested me. We did a concert together back in May, and we had this great conversation. We were riding around in his car back from Switzerland. We were chatting, like, you know, like, just like two schoolgirls chewing gum with the magazines and, like, the feet behind our head, like, oh my God, it's so crazy, and we had such a fun time. And I think that's when we kind of really clicked. And basically, Maxi is the, you know, the voice of the legendary famous Pumukel. It's really, really impressive that he was brought in to do this. I'm so impressed. Like, first review right out of the gate. I'm somebody who, first off, isn't fluent enough in German to be able to completely follow every scene perfectly. And on top of that, most of the dialogue, or a lot of the dialogue, is in Bayerisch. So it's like in this Bavarian dialect, which is, again, not so easy to follow. So you really have to, I'm always like a few sentences behind, but it's still for kids, right? So it's still simple. thank you. It's still simple and it's, you know, but it's still funny and it's easy to get where the heart is in this show. And I'm speaking primarily about the pilot. You know, this was Moritz's episode. The new cast is crazy good. The lead guy who plays the carpenter is the brother of the actor in the other very popular German show, Hindefing. And, you know, this guy's great. He's so lovable, handsome, caring, great eyes. Like, he just has a really great face for camera. And, you know, Maxi doing this voice, you know, I heard little clips of what the original Pumuckl sounded like. And, you know, I think everyone was a little curious. For me, someone who didn't grow up with it, I think I was never unsure if he would do a good job or not. But I think maybe a lot of people who grew up here perhaps were scared that he couldn't live up to the hype of, you know, what was so famously, you know, honored and idolized for years and years and years. And again, like with Moritz and with Maxi, I can't imagine the pressure to reimagine something so loved. I'm trying to think if I don't think there is an American show you can really compare. I think me and Moritz tried to talk about that at the premiere for Pumuckl, but I don't remember. I'm not sure. But anyway, there must be something like that. And yeah, I can't imagine the pressure of that. So I had the, because of Moritz and because of Maxi, I had the like wonderful opportunity to go to the premiere. It was really amazing. And it's funny, man. It's good. It's really good. I just can't believe that. I mean, I guess I'm really happy for them. I'm happy that it got the laughs it deserves. I'm happy that it's something I feel like I can actually watch. You know, I can have a lot of friends in this industry, and I can't always enjoy all the products that they make. And a lot of my friends who are fellow migrants can't always watch and participate in the things that I've done music for, or that my friends have done that I want to show them, because they don't have the you know, the security enough in their language to be able to do it. So I'm just impressed, and I was really happy to be there. Like, we saw three episodes, and then there was a huge, long applause. It was really cool. It was really, really cool. And so I'm going to just get that right off out of the way. Like, congratulations big time to Maxi and to Moritz. I'm really happy that that's gone the way it has. And, I mean, that's just the tip of the effing iceberg for what Moritz can do. And there's so much more to tell you when we can finally get him on the show. And just before, because I don't want to forget it also, our good friend Julian Witt is another fantastic writer. And he is also currently working on Pumuckl as well. So it was cool to, like, you know, be able to say, oh man, well, I have two friends who are writers. Another friend is the lead voice of this famous character. And it's like, man, I'm so lucky to know such cool people, you know? I feel like, man, it took so many years. It took so many years to find a friend group, or to find these threads of people in Munich from starting with nothing. Like, I had so many, I think this happens a lot when you move somewhere new as well. You have all these different like little friend circle groups, and they kind of like Venn diagram. Like, you know, you have this friend group who's like, oh, I met them at this bar and they kind of like this band, da, da, da. And then they're like, oh, and you should meet this guy. And then that builds like another Venn diagram where you have like two or three people that connect the two groups. And with each group individually, you can still vibe, but you're not totally comfortable. And then you have like the two people in the middle that you're like, but Mark is here. That's cool. That's how we can click together. And then the longer you stay, you see like people more and more fading from this group and fading from that group. And because of the middle group, you've met three other people, and that makes more and more Venn diagrams and more loops of people. And you're still kind of like trying to find your bearings, and you're like kind of floating through these different types of people, different kinds of friend groups, different kinds of WhatsApp groups. And like, oh, this is more of my German friend group, and this is more of my Australian friends. This is more of my British friends. This is more of my, you know, this is like my American group. Oh, these are people I met through Instagram. These are people I met through, you know, playing a concert. These are people I met through, you know, so-and-so's parents. And you have this kind of thing where you're kind of shifting, and you're still not really sure like who you are and who you're supposed to be and what kind of group you want to be associated with. And it can be so frustrating. It can be rewarding at times too, because you find people that you didn't know that you needed to meet or wanted to meet. And it's like a miracle. It's so, so great. But again, you're sliding down this cliff, and every once in a while you get a foothold or a hand grip. And you're like, oh, that's great. This is where I thought it would. Oh, and then you slip again. And I feel like finally now, after 7 years, I feel like I'm finally at a place where both hands and both feet are kind of like really dug into this wall, and I haven't slipped in a long time. And that's kind of an amazing feeling to be able to look at, you know, these friends who are making such great products that people adore, you know, to have so much respect for them. And getting to this Noya Zupa party that I went to, like so many people from this party, I was texting them before they got there. Hey, are you going to be at the party? I can't wait to see you. It's been a while since we hung out. And they're like people that are just genuinely really nice, sweet, kind, cool, creative people. And I feel like it really took me a while to find groups that like work in the fields that I admire and also work in and can connect with a lot, but that are also just like great people. Just effing gute Mensch, you know, like good, gute Leute. Gute Leute with gute Laune. Anyway, I'll stop cheesing it up there, but that's really great. Okay, so moving on. There was my very first invitation to the Noya Zupa Production Company's annual film fest party. And man, let me tell you, I have not been as excited about any kind of party as much as I was excited for that. And I was jazzed up. I was jazzed up and I was jacked up, okay? I didn't eat. I drank so many glasses of white wine, and white wine gets me all hyped up, you know? I was such a talking machine and nervous, but like fun, you know, like I've always heard people talk about that you should replace the word nervous or like anxious with excited. If you're not like actually going into something like punishment, you know? And I tried to do that with this. I really was very, very, very excited to go to this party. I knew I was going to know so many people. I was going to know all these people from all these shows that I'd worked on through, you know, doing lyrics for my friend David, who's this composer. He did music for all these shows. It was crazy. All these films, this new Netflix movie, Paradise, that's coming out. We did a song for that together. You know, it was like, I knew actors there. I knew all the let me just tell you this. So, entering the building, which by the way, we were there on time exactly, which felt so uncool, but I just didn't tell anybody that. In the elevator, riding up from the entrance to the door where they checked your wristband, I was in the elevator with the screenwriter of the famous the famous Charlie Sheen movie, Wall Street. Like, what? What is the writer of Wall Street and the television show The Americans? What's he doing there? Steven, what are you doing here in Munich? What are you doing at this party? I instantly realized, I was like, oh, okay. I'm at that kind of party, man. Okay. All right. We go in, and instantly I see all these producers that I've worked with. And I didn't feel scared to approach them. I felt like really happy to see them. Yeah, sure. People are people. And you're not always gonna see everybody the same way and see everybody like vibe with them all the same amount. But everyone was always very nice. And I ran into Simon, who's like, I think he's like one of the head owners of this production company. And he just, you know, popped out this new Netflix film. And man, he was dripping in some fresh clothing, man. He looked really, really, he's like a model. He looked really good. I saw this guy, Corby. Corby did Pumuckl. And he's such a sweetie. He's so nice. Nina and Maya, I met them through Wrong. Lucy, another worker from Noizupa that I met through Wrong. And of course, a lot of the cast, you know, like Lena Meckel and David Helmut, who was the showrunner for Wrong. I met Nicolas Turkserver. I think that's how you say his last name. One of the actors from the show. So it's great. Like, there was a really funny experience. Like, I got inside the place and I instantly went to the wine bar and I knocked back a glass of white wine like it was a shot of tequila, and then I was just refilling my second glass. All of a sudden, this guy walks up to me. When people are exactly the same height as me or any amount taller, I have to like really, really hope that they're super nice guys, because I get this instant thing of like, almost like this pressure. I don't know. I don't know why it's stupid, but like I think I'm like 6'1", 6'2", and he was right there, you know? I was like, oh, hi. Anyway, this guy walks up and he's got this bold appearance. And I mean this in a complimentary way. He's a beautiful man, but bold, right? He's got like a quite feminine, silky blouse, like low hanging collar, silky, shiny, blouse, like a black pearl necklace, I think, and this like thick waft of brownish blondish hair that he's just running his fingers through, and like tall and like slender and had like a bag, and he approached me and he put his hand on my shoulder and he was like, hey, Jordan, wow. And I was instantly wondering, who are you? Who are you? Because if you'd see somebody once or work with them like in the past years, like usually people approach you and say, hey, Jordan, I don't know if you're going to remember me. I'm blah, blah, blah. We met a few years ago. And then you can be like, you can either play along and say, oh my God, of course. Oh my God. Or you can say like, oh, right. You know, Roger. Oh man, cool. This guy just straight up assumed that I definitely 100% could never in a million years forget who he is. We're best friends. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he was leaning in and he was looking me dead in the eyes with no blinking. And he was just kind of like, how have you been? Oh, it's been such a long time. I was like, yeah, it must have been years, right? And he was like, yeah, I think it has, man. Like, as if he approached me as if we went through like a very traumatic experience together and somehow survived it. Like when you're like in those movies, when like the two teenage boys watch their friend get hit by a train, and then they like split up and they have broken homes and they go off to do different things. And like one of them becomes like a misfit rebel criminal and the other one becomes like a small town cop. And then they meet at, you know, some bar because there's like a domestic disturbance that gets called in, and it's the two guys, and then they're in the street, and then like, hey, you promised me you'd never come back here. You promised you'd never set foot in this town. Yeah, well, you didn't keep your promises either. You're like, you know, it's just like some long old, you know, it was really like some super dedicated history together. And I mean, gun to my head, I have no idea who this guy was. And the ironic thing was, we were talking about how I forgot someone's name, but that I asked her. Like, I met a producer that I had worked with, but just met her once or twice, and I just forgot her name. And she looked different too. She had her hair done. She was in a dress. Usually you see people on set with like, you know, jackets and a headset. It's fast interactions. And this guy, this woman came and we talked, and I was like, she's like, Jordan. And I was like, I'm so sorry, but I can't remember your name. And she told me, and then we laughed and we talked and it was nice. But this guy, for some reason, I felt like he was standing like here, you know, like our noses were basically touching. And I just felt like I just can't ask him. And then we talked about how I forgot her name, but that I had, I was like, but you know, then I just asked, like, as if I was so gall, like the gall of me to talk about how I had the courage to ask her for her name, but I'm clearly not doing it for the person standing in front of me. And I don't know why I'm not doing it. And I'm still stuck there not knowing who this person is. And I'm like, so, and I'm trying to feed it out of him. So, you know, what you been working on, man? Because that's just the basic thing you ask anybody at these kinds of parties. Well, yeah, what you working on, man? How's things going in your specific department of this industry? What's your how are things going on in your studio, in your office? On the stage? Like, I just have no idea. And he was like, oh, well, you know. Yeah, last couple of years I've been doing a lot more theater. And I was like, okay. Like, maybe he's an actor. He looks like he could be an actor. Maybe he's an actor. He's pretty and he's bold and maybe he's an actor. And then he was like, yeah, I did that. And, you know, now I'm here and I'm trying to, get into some more things. You're trying to meet and greet and talk to them. You kind of get into more projects, and that still could absolutely mean nothing. It could mean that he's like a grip, you know, or like a lighting technician. It could mean that he's like a camera assistant who's been shooting live productions for theater. Who knows? Is he giving off actor vibes? 100%. Is he probably an actor? Yeah, probably. How does he know me? And probably, and my friend, if you're listening to this right now or you're watching this clip, I'm sorry. I lied, man. I have no idea how we know each other. And we probably do know each other from like my first year or something of living in Munich. And I have no idea how. I don't think we ever worked on anything. It's crazy to me how the conversation was very, very much like old friend. And it was like a blank wall. It was really crazy. We walked from the bar to this other thing. They had like a fridge where you could get like quick bottles of beer or water, which was great. It was really handy. You could serve yourself. Just chatting it up. Eventually, I was like, thankfully, I do pretty much constantly have to urinate. And I just told him, hey, man, this has been so nice, but I really have to try and find the bathrooms, but I'll catch up with you later. And we both kind of had this like little wink of like, I mean, that's how these parties go. You have a quick chat and then you talk to other people for the rest of the night. And I just kept seeing him in passing. He'd pass by me at some point in the party. He winked. He like gave me a wink. And so then I felt like I should wink too. And then I was like, have we made out or something? You know, I was like, is this an item? I just didn't know. I just have no idea. Eventually found out he like knew some other friend of mine because they played soccer as kids, but that still doesn't help me figure out how I know him. Because apparently this guy knew me years before I met his friend, who I am now friends with. It's crazy. So this was like all in the first 10 minutes, riding in the elevator with the guy who wrote Wall Street, and then getting like confronted with this guy who I have no idea who he is for the longest time. Seeing all the cast and producers of Wrong and people from Pumukul and all in Paradise, all these great projects coming out, running into my friend David Reichelt, who's this composer I've done a lot of things for, my friend Giovanni, who did the music for I Don't Work Here, this new Noizupa show for Etia Plus, and of course Stichtag for Join. And yeah, then of course, like, what I love about these kinds of parties, what I really wish, like, I wish they had this party every month, because the socializing between new people and like kind of always reverting back to your crew of good people is such a good flow, and it's such a nice feeling to talk to a couple people you kind of know, you maybe remember, I don't know you, but I loved your work in da 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 da, and then reverting back to, there's Moritz, there's Johanna. You know, there's Ify, there's Robbie, there's Kati, Katarina, and Francis, who I've dubbed Frankie, which I think is going to stick. But he's just, you know, these people, you know, Moritz, Johanna, Robbie, Katarina, Frankie, Ify, there's just such a good crew of good-hearted, interesting, fun people. And you can always just dip back into that crew when you need to. And I'm really happy for that. Like I said before, it took years and years and years to find a friend group that, like, I felt comfortable kind of, like, falling back in on and things like that. But this was the first time also, like, it was just always great to have them around, but I didn't need them. I wasn't, like, so nervous. Last year, I went to an agency party for the first time, met a few people that were, like, I was told over and over how important they were, which kind of, like, built up my head in a weird way. And I was so incapable of just being cool. One producer came up to me and was like, "Hey, Jordan, how you doing?" And I said, "I'm anxious." First words out of my mouth to a stranger. So not the best first impression. I saw him at the party. We also didn't really talk, but I don't know if he remembers me. Anyway, I'll wrap it up with a couple of things. One, I also saw a good friend, Frederick Linkemann, who is an actor in the reboot of Pumukul, amongst other things, Der Pass. There's another great World War II show. I can't remember what it's called right now. He's doing amazing things. He's a really, really cool, very kind guy. I met his girlfriend. She was very, very sweet. And I really, really hope to see them more often. And last but certainly not least, I have to acknowledge it. The fan recognition for these videos I'm doing, like, it's finally at a place where I'm, like, seeing it. And that's crazy. I feel like I'm still kind of the only person who sees or acknowledges how many years I spent trying to get to a place like this with my music. And the crazy thing is, I get DMs or messages or something or a post or a comment every single day. They don't even know. Like, I talked to someone that I met in Berlin a few days ago about something with the event that I went to. I was like, "Oh yeah, then I did this, and then I played guitar at this concert." She was like, "Oh, I didn't even know you knew how to play guitar." And for me, that's just so crazy. That's crazy that I've spent so many years trying to get some sort of traction like this with music. And I'm grateful. I've had fun. I've had opportunities that I'm so thankful for, like doing this TV show. I mean, my God, that's so fun, you know? I hope I can keep doing that. I love doing music for me also, not just for recognition, but, like, I love it. But what I'm trying to say is it's crazy how much work and time and hours and, like, effort I put into trying to get that kind of traction for my music. I mean, imagine being recognized, like, for your art in a way it's crazy. And it just never happened. It just never got off the ground. Like, I'm thankful for what I've done. And I'm not going to stop doing it or something. But, like, I'm realizing it's not my main income. And it just never really was, you know. It was my biggest dream, but it's not my main income. And then all of a sudden, I start doing videos not just about the German language. But it turns into me doing a character, doing a bit, being more of, like, comedian sketch stuff, which I loved that. I love doing that too. And that all of a sudden, as something that was just for funsies, just for goofs, just for yuck yucks, just explodes out of proportion, like crazy, in a way that I can't have planned or predicted or tried, or there's no skill involved for me trying to make it the way that it worked. It just is that way. And now here I am, for the first time at the Neue Suppe Film Fest party in Munich, surrounded by peers who have worked on such great films and television shows and projects that I admire, and I'm so impressed with all of them. And then, you know, having several people at this party come up, which thankfully they did it in front of producers, but they came up and they were like, "Oh my God, you're Jordan. I love your Instagram videos. You know, I love your reels about Germany, and you're so spot on with this or that." And it was like just the most flattering thing in the world. And It may not have been for music that I got that kind of recognition, but at least it's for something that I actually enjoy doing. I think if I was getting the traction for a viral video that I didn't want released or something that I didn't like that I did once, but now I have to do it because it's making money or something, I would really hate that. But I love making these videos. I love making people laugh, and I'm feeling very grateful every day for the comments and for people who share it. And now, like, having gone to Berlin and really felt like the presence of these people who watch the videos, and now it's starting in Munich more now too, especially at the film fest. I mean, it was like 5 or 6 times at a party, strangers coming up, interrupting conversations. Can I get a photo with you? That stuff's nuts. Like, you people are absolutely batshit crazy, and I love you so much. And I'm so grateful. You guys are the reasons why I have like 7 unread emails from these potential partnerships or company collaborations, because you guys are great, and I'm really, really thankful. So I think I'm just gonna wrap it up there before I linger on this stuff too much. Yeah, I should stop here. Guys, this has been so much fun, and just, you know, final shout out, Maxi Schaffrod, Moritz Bender, Julian Witt, congratulations on Puma Cool, Corby, congratulations on Puma Cool, David Reichelt, and Simon, congrats on Paradise, new Netflix movie coming out. We did a song together on that. I think the song is gonna come out on Spotify, maybe. David always releases his soundtracks, so maybe. If you saw the ZDF Neo show, Breaking Even, the soundtrack's available, and you can hear three or four songs that I sang for that show, so that's pretty cool too. And yeah, I mean, just the film fest is happening, cool projects are on the horizon, and it feels good for the first time to be a part of it and to not feel like an imposter. So I'm really cool. That's really cool. I'm really cool, I said. I'm very happy for that. I'm very grateful. Yeah, let's do it. So, all right, guys. A lot of things on the horizon. I'll keep everybody posted, like updated the best that I can. But it's all kind of crazy. So I don't know. We'll just see. We'll just see what happens. But yeah, if you like this podcast that I do, it means the most to me above all this stuff. So if you enjoy the videos and you enjoy these kinds of conversations, these kinds of interactions, please, you know, go subscribe and like and share, comment. It really helps people like yourselves, like people who love these this community, helps them find the podcast too. And maybe we can all kind of connect and thread together on that. If you're just watching this, it's Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. It comes out every Thursday morning, and always a fresh episode every week, unless I'm absolutely paralyzed with illness, which is usually just once or twice a year if I can really help it. But I'm really grateful for everyone who listens and enjoys the show. Thank you for being here, and yeah, everyone have a great week. Make sure to check out my radio show, American Sunday, every Sunday morning from 10 to 1 on Ego FM, live on Ego FM. It does not go into the MediaTek, so you have to hear it when it comes on. And otherwise, yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I'm going to this week. There's a few events still for the film fest I have to go to. But other than that, I think I'm going to try and take it a little easier next week. I have some work to do, but I think it's going to be cool. And just so people listening know, I did do a TikTok live for this episode. I just chose not to answer questions because I had some things I wanted to tell. But again and again, still, this constant question, you're not German? I'm sorry. I may not be German, but baby, I've got my finger on the pulse of your people. All right. Thank you for listening, guys. Thanks for being here for the live. I love you. I'll be here next week. All right. Bye. Bye. Look out, baby. The saints are coming through. And it's all over now. Baby blue. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider. Produziert für M94.5.